Our lesson tonight is out of Acts chapter 28, verses 11 to 16, God's nurturing amid strong trials. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome, so we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts 28:11-16 records a series of events that provided spiritual nurture and encouragement for Paul to offset the past trial of shipwreck and the future crisis of a trial before the Roman emperor. So we view the passage for our insight. I'd like to read the verses first of all before we get into the passage. Acts 28:11-16. And after 3 months of being on the island of Malta in the winter, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered on the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux, and landed at Syracuse, that would be on the coast of, another island, just south of Italy. Landing on the coast of that particular island, we tarried there for 3 days, actually. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium, which is on the toe of the boot of Italy. And after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. The Apostle Paul had come through a harrowing storm that had driven him and his ministry team 600 miles across the Mediterranean Sea, only to be shipwrecked on the island of Malta. In the future, he was also going to stand trial before the Roman emperor. We know that from Acts 25:11-12 and Acts 27:22-24. He'd appealed to Caesar, so he's going to stand trial before Caesar. From just the human perspective, having come through a great trial of the ship voyage and shipwreck, not to mention the life-threatening incident with the viper in Acts 28:3-5, only to face trial before the leader of the Roman Empire, the mental, emotional, and physical toll on the apostle would have been significant. Accordingly, between the shipwreck and his arrival in Rome, God provided some nurturing encouragements as a means of refreshing Paul. Verses 11 to 16. First, Luke recorded a detail about the ship they would use to sail from Malta toward Rome that would act as a spiritual encouragement to Paul and to the believers who accompanied him. A ship from Alexandria had wintered on Malta, so the centurion who was transporting Paul chose to use it to take his prisoners to Rome. The ship in which Paul had been shipwrecked was also from Alexandria, similarly a grain ship. These are large ships. What would recall the traumatic shipwreck itself? Significantly, this ship had at its figurehead the heavenly twin sons of Zeus and Leda, according to Greek mythology, who supposedly brought good fortune to mariners. And if their constellation, which is Gemini, was seen during a storm, it was an omen of good luck. Now that's interesting, because Paul has just come through a shipwreck, and God has provided for him and everybody on board, all 276 people, to make it safely to land. So God is his real protector in regards to shipping. But here are these pagans with these twin sons of Zeus and Leda. So Luke possibly mentioned this detail to contrast the superstition of the people of Malta, of Rome, of Greece, and Egypt with Christianity. Only God had brought Paul's companions safely to Malta when the pagan sailors had lost all hope back in Acts 27:20-44. So Luke, Paul, and the other believers who had come with them were reminded of their security that was based in the plan and purpose of God instead of pagan superstitions. Now, that's a little detail I hadn't known before. This is the first time I went through it, and I did a little study on these twin figures that were used on the ship. And it's interesting how Luke pointed that out to demonstrate the tremendous superiority of God's protection taking them 600 miles across the Mediterranean Sea in the midst of a nor'easter, and landing all 276 people on board safely, where they lost everything else, the ship, the grain, and the tackling of the boat, demonstrates the tremendous superiority of the Christian faith over paganism. Second, Luke reported how they safely sailed northeast from the island of Malta to Syracuse on the island of Sicily. That's the island I was looking for. Then on further north to Rhegium, on the toe of the boot of southern Italy, before catching a south wind that brought them up north along Italy's western coast to the land of Puteoli. And that's in the Bay of Naples, I believe. This peaceful sail in a ship like the one in which they'd suffered shipwreck would have been therapeutic. Remember, it's probably a bit traumatic to get on another grain ship when you've just been shipwrecked on a former grain ship. It's kind of like if you've been in a plane wreck with a Cessna, a 180, last thing you want to do is fly in another Cessna 180. But here's Paul on board ship, and the Lord takes him safely home. Third, at Puteoli, since the centurion apparently had some business there, Paul and his believing traveling companions were able to accept an invitation by believers there to stay with them for a week. That would be 7 days. Fourth, Ostia, which was Rome's harbor, was not deep enough to harbor at this time to receive Alexandrian grain ships, which were very large. So they left Puteoli, a port on the Bay of Naples, and went by land toward Rome. Now that's important, because this land travel gave opportunity for encouragement from other believers along the way. See, if they'd sailed all the way up to Rome, he would have been met by believers in Rome. But in this way, he's going to be able to see believers all the way. And news spread rapidly of believers in Rome that Paul and his believing companions were headed their way. So many of them came to meet Paul's party as far away as the Forum of Appius, which is a market town 43 miles south of Rome. These people probably came on foot, or they might have had a wagon or what, but they're going out of their way to meet the Apostle Paul. This is a wonderful welcoming opportunity. And the Three Taverns, which was located 3 miles from Rome, was a town, but it was called Three Taverns anyway. Now, the noun apantesin, translated as an infinitive, to meet, was used in Greek literature of an entourage coming out of a city to meet an official going to the city. So Paul received courage. The noun courage, tharsos, is used in its verb form tharseo in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. It's used of people in distress who were then encouraged. So being honored by believers who were coming out in a group to meet him, he had never met before, and that was therapeutic for Paul. And we know from the word tharsos, a unique word for courage, that Paul was taking courage from probably having been really depleted because of the tremendous shipwreck and everything that was going on there. Fifth, once he got into Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. He'd proved himself to the centurion to be a trusted prisoner, so he was allowed to live comfortably. Remember, this centurion was of the official guard of the emperor himself. So this man had a lot of sway, and he moved, and he said, you know, let Paul, he's not going to go anywhere. Just let him live by himself. Now, we know later in Acts 28 that this was in rented quarters, and Paul was paying for his own way, which was an amazing thing. He might have been doing some work on the side as a tent maker, we don't know. But he had proved himself to be a trusted prisoner. So even being allowed to live comfortably in Rome, when he got there, he could live by himself, get some privacy. He hadn't had privacy all along up until now. That would have been an encouragement as well. So it's fascinating how God built this man up in preparation for the trial that he was supposed to face before the Roman emperor. So between the past crisis of a great shipwreck and the future ordeal of standing trial before Caesar, Paul needed nurturing encouragement, so God provided it in various edifying ways. It's very important, if you ever get an encouragement from the Lord, milk it for all it's worth, because there's a reason why you need it. And that's why he's sending the encouragement your way. So if you get an encouragement, dwell on it. Go for it, because it's the Lord preparing you, because you probably have an ordeal in front of you, a challenge in front of you, and he wants to get your your juices all filled back up so that you can go forward. So in application, may we rely on the Lord to provide the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual nurture that we need amid our trials. Today, following the worship service, there was a man in our church who contacted me, and he said, "Pastor, when you were mentioning what you were mentioning in the conclusion section, it hit the nail on the head in a trial that my wife and I are facing in regards to another party." And he says, "It was so moving, my wife just burst out in tears, and she was weeping through the process." And I was kind of stunned by that. And she came up and then talked with me, and we were talking together about it. And I saw what the need was. And I shared with them, "Well, I had absolutely no idea that you were facing that trial. When I constructed that part of the sermon, I was thinking about something entirely different." So this, I said, is God's encouragement. It's an encouragement to you, and it's encouragement to me. It's encouragement to me because I see that the Lord is using the ministry, even though I wasn't using it. But I said it should be an encouragement to you. You know that I didn't know anything about this. So this is the Lord's communication to you, and this is his encouragement to you. And we thought that was really something, how the Lord had worked that out in their life. And that kind of things happen. I've heard of other people in the church doing the same thing, having experiences. Sometimes it's a children's conversation that hits somebody. Sometimes it's in a Sunday school class, and I've heard about situations like this where children are affected. And it's just a wonderful thing to see how the Lord builds us up and encourages us. We need to go with those encouragements. We need them. We've got a big challenge coming up here in Vacation Bible School. Not this week, but we have one coming up next week. And, of course, there's a lot of spiritual activity that goes on in a Vacation Bible School. And there's probably going to be some angelic conflict issues as well. That's always the case. So what we need to do is to prepare for that, but to look forward to seeing what God will do for us and through us. But it's always good to remember that the ministry is God's business. We're just his servants. We're just doing what he tells us to do. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. But if our batteries spiritually are depleted in any way, that's God's business to fill them up. It's not ours. He'll take care of us. What we need to do is just trust him and go forward and serve the Lord and let him take care of us.